You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to the William Hill Racing Podcast. Alex Dunn and Andy Holding with you on the latest edition. We're looking ahead to Tuesday's action. We're out in the office as well today, Andy.
We are.
Nice little treat for us. Around real people. Normally we just get put in a box.
I know. It just feels more real, doesn't it?
You feel free.
Yeah. Not so encaged.
We've got we've got plenty to discuss as well, because we've got the Monday jury to start with. Once again, shamelessly stolen from the Racing Post, but comes off the back of some fantastic racing on Saturday. We start with talking Gold Cup prospects and Clan des Obo, who was a really impressive winner at Ascot over the weekend. He did what many people expected him to do, but the fact that people expected him to do that is probably almost a tip in itself. He was so impressive at Kempton and then has now followed that up, and he looks a live contender, doesn't he?
I think in a wide open year, you'd have to consider any horse that is going into the festival in such good form as Clan des Obo. The King George, arguably, is one of the best trials and has been for many years. It's certainly produced horses that have run well in the Gold Cup, and of course it's had plenty of winners down the years. He's obviously got this little bit of a stigma attached to him with regards to his Cheltenham form. I don't think he's run badly at Cheltenham. You know, that run when he was second in the handicap off top weight over the new course 2.5 last year was a good one. And of course he ran well in the Triumph Hurdle back in his younger days, so it's not as if he's got completely battered at Cheltenham. It's just that he hasn't won, and punters don't seem to like that particular trend. What we can say is he improved significantly since the days that he has run at Cheltenham. And Paul Nicholls has always said it on record that this horse is going to improve the more racing he has. And, you know, he's only a seven-year-old. He's going in there with no convictions, as far as I can see. A lot of horses have had brutally hard races. There's questions to ask about a lot of them. Whereas, you know, you can't really punch too many holes in this fella. And Paul Nicholls, I think, will still feel as though he's going into this race fairly under the radar and underestimated. And I think that's what Paul Nicholls likes. He likes almost, you know, going against conventional wisdom and proving people wrong. And this would be a real feather in his cap if he managed to win with Clan des Obo. And I certainly don't think you could rule him out.
What about Al Dancer then? What did you make of the Betfair Hurdle?
I thought it was a strange race. Strange in many respects, because it wasn't a hugely strong gallop. It was an even gallop, but the fact that Magic Dancer, who doesn't normally make the running, is usually a hold-up horse, managed to make all till going down to the last and finish second. Blue Cavalier was 100-1 poke on his first start for New Connections, still managed to hang tough, having raced in third throughout, and he stayed in third. And the horse that eventually won, Al Dancer, basically got the benefit of running in behind those two, picking them off and quickened away on the running, having raced quite keenly throughout. I would take that form with a large dollop of salt. I don't think that standalone piece of form is necessarily good enough for a Supreme Novices Hurdle in normal years. But I don't think we've seen anything this year in the Vators, the Duvans, that kind of category at Altior, that a horse is, you know, a Gold Cup horse or a champion hurdle horse in waiting. So I think, like I say, it's not one of those. It's not a vintage year, so Al Dancer's definitely got to be on your shortlist. Many reservations about him. He's very quirky, he's very buzzy, he races keenly. You can't afford to expend any energy in any championship race. I'm not totally convinced by him yet, and particularly at the price. I'd sooner be on, if he does run in the race, Fakir du Dury, and all the vibes are that Joseph O'Brien and Connections have bought him specifically to avoid Sir Eric and for him to come and fly the flag for the juveniles. And I think the juveniles are above average this season. They seem to be. Whether Al Danson can cope with a Fakir du Dury is very much open to question. And I certainly wouldn't rule out Getaway Trump either.
Yeah.
Who was the only horse that was held up at the back. He was actually last with coming out of Swindley Bottom. He was the only one who made any kind of ground on the front runners. I'd mark him up quite considerably, and if he was to go into the Supreme Novices, I certainly wouldn't rule him out of at least holding his own.
Okay. Interesting. Let's talk surname. I mean, I've done the last couple of racing podcasts now, and I'm actually not sick of talking about him, which is nice.
Yeah.
Because he was so good. And the question is, what do you think he could go on to achieve during the rest of 2019? So we'll stick to that, because long term, I mean, I was talking to Will Smith yesterday. He said he could dominate races like this for years to come.
Yeah.
He could. He's still young. But the fact that they are likely going to swerve Cheltenham this year, I was saying, is, I think, a positive for the horse long term. And it's also refreshing to have owners, trainers who are willing to sidestep what is seen by many as the bail and end all, and Cheltenham is not the bail and end all.
Well, it certainly isn't for a horse like Surname, who's got a tendency to go right handed. You know, he's got an amazing record going in an anti-clockwise direction. He goes an amazing gallop from the start. He can burn horses off. He can keep that gallop up. If he can get a breather in, he's got an uncontested lead like he's had in his last two runs, then he's almost unbeatable. I think as time goes...
Clockwise
direction, beg your pardon. Yes. I was just trying to catch you out. just to make sure you're listening. I think the problem is long-term is when this horse perhaps gets a little bit too dominant. One or two other trainer strike connections might just cotton onto this fact that he is a bit one-dimensional in the sense he's not like Altio, who can win from behind, win from the front, win from the back. It doesn't matter how you ride the race to try and get Altio out of his comfort zone, he'll still win. The one way to perhaps get this horse at it and beat is when, like we saw in that handicap chase early on in the year when he was taken on, he wasn't quite so good. So as long as he's left alone up in front for the first mile and he can keep getting breathers in and keep jumping well and gaining ground and preserving energy, then he's great. I'd like to see what he can do when he is properly taken on by something, but other than that, no, he's the real deal. Time wise, figure wise, he's the quickest horse that we've got on our speed figures for quite some time. And he quite rightly is heading up towards the close to 180 marks now in the handicap.
It was a devastating performance on Saturday. What about other horses from Saturday then? On the Monday jury in the Racing Post, we've got Mona Lee mentioned, Magic Saint. What else have we got? Grand Sonsi. There was a lot to go at on Saturday. Now that we've had a few days to dissect it, What was a standout for you, Surname apart?
Well, Mona Lee was definitely one of them. I love Mona Lee, always have done, but I've been a little bit annoyed, frustrated with connections that they keep trying to persist to run him over 3 miles or try and make him into a Gold Cup horse. On the scant piece of evidence that we've got, he's never won over 3 miles. He's travelled well over it for a long time, but each occasion when he's been asked to put in his maximum effort, he hasn't managed to deliver the goods, albeit he's run well. Second in Albert Bartlett, second in a RSA. These are good pieces of form, but he just hasn't got up the Cheltenham Hill over that distance. So I think that the Ryanair is very much the race that he should be running in. He was good the other day in the Red Mills when he jumped well in front, and I think those tactics might be seen a good effect around Cheltenham on the new course. Other than him, I thought Liz Nagore Oscar was the one to take out the weekend for me. I absolutely adored that performance. What you're looking in a young, staying 3 mile potential Cheltenham winner of an Albert Bartlett is a bottomless pit of stamina.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what he seems to have in abundance,
but without looking slow.
No, he really rattled on. I mean, I did some sectionals on the last circuit at Haydock quickly before I came in today, and amazingly he was about a second and a half quicker than Cal Dastan on the last circuit when I went past the winning line to the winning line. He was about 5.5-6 lengths quicker than a good genuine 2 mile hurdler. And that was and he'd run 3 miles, he'd already run an extra mile, so he's obviously got a good engine. Rebecca won this race, i.e. the Albert Bartlett, with at Fisher's Cross many years ago. He's got Cheltenham form as well. He was second to Colin Tizard's horse, Rock Point, early on in the year when he perhaps might have won had he not kicked the last out of the ground. So he's got all the attributes you're looking for an Albert Bartlett horse. So Liz Nagore Oscar, away from the big obvious ones, would be the one I'd take out the weekend.
Okay. Final couple of questions. First is around Paul Nicholls. Will he fend off old rival Nicky Henderson in the trainer's title?
Yeah, it's an interesting one. I think he definitely wants to try and wrestle that back. A lot depends, of course, what happens at Cheltenham. Nicky's got some big guns to play. You know, your likes of the good novices he's got. And,
well, you look at Altior.
Yeah, exactly. That's well, a give. You might as well give it him now.
He's got $225,000.
Exactly. That's already in his back pocket.
Yeah.
And of course, Bouvier, if he wins a Champion Earl, that's another $200,000 in his skyrocket. But, you know, Paul Nicholls will chip away. He'll win his prize money then everywhere. That's going to go on. That's going to rumble on to the end of the season. It's very much like the Premier League, isn't it, with Liverpool and Man City. Only one mistake from either of the two trainers along the way, the dip in form will end up costing them.
And final question is nothing to do with tipping, but it's, was a 6-day shutdown the right call, or did the BHA overreact to equine flu?
Well, I think the evidence is they probably did overreact in some respects, but they had to be seen to be doing something. I think the proactive nature of how they went about it was a knock-on effect of the perhaps poor decisions they made in the past. I think they were pushed into a corner, they're in between a rock and a hard place, whatever, whichever cliche you want to use. I've just used those two just for
all of them.
All of them together, yeah. I think they didn't have a leg to stand on. There you go, there's another one.
But at the same time, we're saying maybe if it was an overreaction, it's hard to quantify that, because if they hadn't have done anything, who knows what would be happening.
Exactly,
now.
Yeah. So look, under the circumstances and the evidence they had in front of them, they knew something was going on. It could have escalated. I think they did the right thing to draw stumps. They wanted to make completely sure that what they were doing was the right thing. Mm. At the end of the day, it was 5-6 days out of the year that now it's all gone and done and dusted. We don't probably give two hoots about. And the show's back on the road, and I think we'd rather have the preservation and the security of Cheltenham being okay than still going into the dark.
And the show moves on to Wetherby, amongst other places, on Tuesday, and that's where we're going to focus on a couple of fancies for Andy. We've also got racing at Taunton, haven't we, on Tuesday, and there's an evening card at Wolverhampton, I believe.
That's right.
On Tuesday evening. We're going to focus on two at Wetherby, though. Where are we starting?
Start with the handicap chase over 2 miles, 3:30 Wetherby. I think Movie Legend has got a good chance. Had a wind operation since last seen, so that could have the desired effect. I thought ran really well behind Generous Day at Warwick last time out in a well-run race. But if you go back to that run at Wetherby early on in the year, when he probably should have won that day, but he got beat by the old boy Bouveret, who finally found a piece of form from nowhere. But it was a day where Jack Quinlan rode it, and he went down the inside, and the inside of the track at Wetherby at the moment is where the fences are at their most steepest on the landing side. He made a couple of noticeable errors where he ran into like the collecting area, having jumped the fence, and he lost valuable momentum. His Ascot run stands out. He was third behind Hell's Kitchen and Janika two runs ago, and back in fifth was Magic Saint, who absolutely bolted up at Wincanton on Sunday. If he runs to that level here, going back to Wetherby, a track where he's won before, he's going to be very difficult to beat.
And the other fancy that you have today is another course specialist, Locke Salt, who goes to Wetherby, well, more often than he doesn't.
Yeah, he finds it difficult to win, but that doesn't mean to say he can't. And again, there's another piece of form here that was suggesting he's quite well in tomorrow, and that was that run where he split Myar Gold and Blue Flight. And we saw those two fight out a finish of the day at Kelso. We've also seen Blue Flight go to Ascot and win subsequently. And he split that pair over the course and distance a couple of runs ago. He ran okay last time out at Doncaster. I put him up that day. And once again, he was up against two strong stayers. I don't think there's any discredit there. Mm. The fact that he goes back to Wetherby, a track where he likes, that form is definitely the standout coming into that. So let's hope he can run to that same level.
And what time's that race?
4:35.
There you are. Lovely stuff, Andy.
Okay.
Couple of fancies for Mr. Holding then on Tuesday. Good luck if you are having a bet. I'll be on Racing Radio tomorrow with Andrew Mount and Craig Forsyth.
Dissecting the action.
So it would be lovely if you could join us, listeners. And yourself, Mr. Holding, if you've got no plans tomorrow.
I usually tend to listen in when I'm walking the dog.
Yeah, there you go.
Around about between 3 and 4. So they better make that point of the show.
That'll be the
most profitable.
The highlight. Yeah. Right, thank you.
Okay, pal.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.